What is going on, everybody? This is episode 151 of Pop Culture Crisis. My name is Brett. I am here with my co-host. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, Crisis Actors. It's Mary.
How you doing today?
I'm doing good.
Very good?
Not very good.
Just regular good? We don't lie here.
I mean, I'm barely hanging on.
Wow, okay.
I'm just kidding.
The point is we don't lie here. We're not gonna lie to you and tell you that we're having the greatest day ever.
As I said, we keep it raw and real.
Exactly. We have a guest host today. Would you please introduce yourself?
Correct. I'm Sour Patch Lids. I'm the producer of Timcast IRL. I'm not doing that right now. I'm hanging out with my pals up in Pop Culture Crisis, which is where I love to be on Wednesdays.
Upstairs.
Oh, I thought you were bilocating right now.
I am. I'm in two different places at once.
That'd be cool. Joe Rogan would love to talk about that.
I could totally do that too. Yeah,
I feel like that's a thing he would talk about. I like it. I hate it when he gets into the politics and culture stuff. I just want to hear him talk about aliens and stuff like that.
Same.
So, we had a bunch of stuff to talk about today. We are going to talk about the initial article here is about R. Kelly and sentencing, but I kind of want to make it more about why some trials, when relating to celebrities or popular figures in culture, why some seem to get all the attention and other ones just don't seem to get any attention. I do wonder what that is about. I also want to talk about Chris Pratt and why I feel like his article. Lydia is not happy about that, but I want to talk about why I think that he gave the media industrial complex exactly what they wanted in regards to his context, like the context of his comments about religion. And then we are also going to talk about Netflix, and it's like its very own womp 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 right in the middle of a regular segment. We got that. We got Podluck. So if you ladies are ready, we will just get right into it. Mary, are we ready?
We're ready.
Lydia?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then we will go ahead and get right in. That was a very agreeable intro. So it says R. Kelly to be sentenced in sex trafficking case. I know. The main reason this came up to me was this: his story and his like issues will come up every so often, but I see almost no press or anyone really cover it outside of like blurbs in articles. And that's really what this is they break down the basics of this case. But the issue here is that we just had the fiasco of Amber Heard and Johnny Depp. And we also had Ghislaine, you have to say it pretentiously, Ghislaine Maxwell in the sentencing for that. And people who watch this show are likely to have more than enough to say about that. And they're going to be following that closely. But in general, they're not talking about it, not heavily. So let's just go through first what happened with R. Kelly, and we will go from there. So it says, we got a super chat right there right away, and we got to make sure
thank
that.
Thank you.
Oh
my gosh. Oh no, we got to put money in the money dispenser. How else are we going to get distracted?
That was a good one, wasn't it? That was good.
All right.
So it says, R. Kelly has been behind bars for nearly 3 years and won't get out anytime soon. The Grammy Award-winning 55-year-old singer faces decades in prison ahead of his Wednesday sentencing. So the sentencing would be today. Mm-hmm. But basically the idea here is he could get anywhere from 10 years on the low end to life in prison, given the fact that what he's being accused of is what he was convicted of is absolutely heinous. And basically the idea here is he got convicted on all 9 counts of what he was charged for. The first one being racketeering, and then the other 8 being violations of the Mann Act, which, as we know, we can get into the definition, but we talked about it a lot when we got into talking about Elvis and things with Priscilla Presley, but we'll get down to that. So it says in September 2021, the R&B singer was found guilty on all 9 counts. With the single racketeering count, there were 14 individual acts, including bribery, kidnapping, and forced labor.
Wow.
The idea here is, like, when you think of racketeering, you think of like organized crime.
Yeah.
And the idea here is that because of he was a famous person with a lot of people working for him, be it record labels, assistants, that it constituted a criminal enterprise that allowed his behavior to continue, that nobody did anything to stop it.
Do his allegations go beyond just what he's being sentenced for?
And not allegations, charges. He's actually got
are there like allegations beyond just what he's been charged with?
Well, there's also the fact that of the 5 women testified, of the 6 that were brought up in the case, and one of them that couldn't testify was Aaliyah, because Aaliyah passed away.
Right.
Thank
Ooh,
you.
Yay.
Because Aaliyah passed away, however many years ago. Also, she would have been Beyonce if she hadn't passed away. I am firmly of that belief.
Wait, really?
Oh yeah. Oh,
is this a conspiracy theory?
No, you're too young to understand how much of an impact Aaliyah made on society at that time. So it says a federal anti-sex trafficking law that this is about the Mann Act. Now it says criminalizes the transportation of any woman or girl for the purpose of prostitution or debauchery for any other immoral purpose. I do have to wonder, like, where the poor what about the poor boys that are being trafficked
right.
for immoral purposes? is, which is what always comes to my mind when I see that. And it says, isn't racketeering typically to do with organized crime? And they say, yes. It says, the government argued that Kelly used manipulation, threats, and physical abuse to dominate his victims in his inner circle, serviced as enablers for his criminal conduct, which while he ran his criminal enterprise. Kelly and his organization used the singer's fame to entrap women, girls, and boys. So it says 11 accusers, 9 women and 2 men testified at the trial. 6 were minors when the alleged abuse took place. The criminal charges hinged on the accusations relating to 6 women, 5 of whom testified, the 6th of whom was Aaliyah, who died in a plane crash in 2001. So it says, and if everybody remembers, there was like a sham wedding between her and R. Kelly, like when she was underage. But you'd have to do a whole lot of looking into that. It's a crazy case. But it says he faces 10 years to life in prison. The government wants more than 25 years, noting his long and pervasive behavior of enticing children to engage in sexual activity. The stuff that he's like accused of, you literally cannot talk about on these podcasts.
Fringe.
Because of how awful they are. But I want to know, does it seem weird to you how, like, this article lists all sorts of awful things, but it just doesn't really get talked about?
Kind of like the Maxwell trial.
I think
we're desensitized to that evil because the things that get a reaction out of people now are, in comparison, so benign.
Yeah. Also, I wonder if maybe it's just literally we're just really... like short attention span.
Yes.
Like this is old, so nobody cares.
Oh, for sure.
Does that make sense? Like, am I not giving us enough credit?
Yeah, I guess so. And then in the case of Ghislaine, that was really only a subject of conversation in, what was it, 2019?
Yeah, late 2019.
And now no one thinks about it, and it's not televised.
Right.
And she just got sentenced to, what, 20 years in prison? And R. Kelly faces 25 at the most, but his lawyers want him to get 10 or less. But still, nobody's, like, it's like, it, I think part of it is also that the media is afraid to report on those. Like, you are free to report about Johnny Depp and Amber Heard because there's, however serious it may be, they don't feel like they're at risk for talking about it, whereas we know that one time that one reporter talked about having a story about can we say his name anymore? Can Epstein be talked about?
So.
Okay, like there was and they killed that story just because they didn't want him to talk about it. So it bothers me when people talk about the concept of justice and being really, really angered by these acts, but it's always on the terms of whatever the public finds fashionable at that time.
I suppose if we have to compare them, the Depp Heard trial was serious. Like, the stakes were lower.
Yeah.
Because it was a private, it was discussing something that privately happened between two adults.
So is that also does that almost make it worse? Like, we're giving all this attention to something that doesn't matter when we should be giving our attention to stuff that does 100%. Matter?
Because we just used it as 100%. An opportunity to do more celebrity worship.
Yeah, I feel like that was nothing but a distraction. When it came to the Epstein trial, there was so much corruption there, and so many people were implicated. People at very high levels of power were involved in this, and everybody knew that, you know, Bill Gates had been on the plane, Bill Clinton had been on the plane. This stuff is sketchy, shady as heck, as they say, and that, I think, was part of the reason that we couldn't really get into it. Like, even now, we put up that video about Ghislaine Maxwell being sentenced, and YouTube tried to demonetize it at first.
Yeah, I'm not even going to be putting, that in the... I want to talk about it, but, we can't really post much about it because it's going to get demonetized or it's going to get shadow banned. I also think it's interesting that R. Kelly's, he's filing an appeal before sentencing, and his new lawyer, Jennifer Bongean, is the one who got Bill Cosby out of prison.
Oh, wow.
Which is terrifying to think that, he could, one day get out.
Interesting.
Which is super
scary.
Kind of shady. And he has another trial coming out for child
endangerment.
Child illicit material images. So, it just kind of, the fact that nobody cares to me, that the article had, I go to an article, we're judging by our, when we talk about how Yahoo comments are what they are, we like Yahoo comments. I was going through these articles, and anything with Amber Heard, there's 5,000 comments on it.
Yeah.
I go to this one, and there was a couple. There might be more now, but there wasn't really all that many.
I mean, is that speaking to how easily we are swayed by the media, or is that about what people are interested in paying for bots to talk about?
Without proof, like, I guess, that it's bots.
I know throughout the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial, I was seeing a tweet here or there that was like, hey, by the way, while everyone is still distracted with this highly publicized televised trial,
slip it in under.
What are they getting away with?
This is happening. Yeah. Look at what they're getting away with right under your nose.
Yep.
But then that's not getting covered by any of the mainstream media. That's just Twitter. So, and as we said, Twitter is not real.
That's right.
So is it just that the media is terrified to talk about the stuff that matters?
Terrified? I mean, what could possibly happen to them?
If they kill the story, okay, not terrified. They just don't see it as financially beneficial because it won't do well.
CBS, or I think it was CBS, it might have been ABC. One of those TV networks shut down the Epstein story when it first came
out. Exactly. There was the hot mic of the reporter getting caught.
Yeah, she's like, oh, we shut it down. We thought it wasn't a big deal. And it's so clear that it's such a freaking huge issue. So it's like, what exactly were you guys thinking? Who was paying you? Who's behind this? There's a lot of shady stuff going on there.
So there's an article here from Newsweek that just breaks down. It says Amber Heard, Ghislaine Maxwell trial outcomes compared in viral tweet. Mm-hmm. And they talk about like people talking. They're basically, it's about people having a conversation on Twitter. At least the ones that we can verify, because these are people that you've heard of, that they are at least real people and not Joe Schmo 32 on Twitter. So it's Blair White saying, I don't want to live in a society that demands every detail of the Amber Heard and Johnny Depp case, but is somehow content with a single name from the Ghislaine Maxwell client list.
Yeah.
So I think it's not our realm here to talk about Ghislaine Maxwell on a regular basis, because we don't really, that's not our, we're not talking politics. We're not talking about hard news. Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, while it is a trial, is still very much public fascination that revolves around popular culture.
And like, in a way, we participated in that.
Exactly. No, we didn't let ourselves off the hook for that.
We acknowledge that. I think pop culture, the pop culture news cycle is now being used as a smokescreen.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, for sure.
Like the moving shadows, and behind us is everything real that's going on.
I would posit that this has always been the case with celebrity and with like gossip and tabloids and stuff. It's always been a distraction. It's very much been a case of bread and circuses when bigger things are going on. And I wonder if that's not part of the reason that we've gotten to the point that we've gotten to with the Epstein trial and all of that stuff going down. That level of corruption doesn't happen overnight, and doesn't happen because people are paying close attention to it. It happens because it gets buried. No one pays attention to it. ABC hides it, and CNN writes articles like we read last night that doesn't talk about anything like what she was fully actually charged with and who she trafficked to. Of course not. No one is talking about that. That's very telling.
They talk about in here that, so Piers Morgan also said, like, what about the clients? Everyone wants to know, what about the clients?
Bipartisan.
She didn't even like acknowledge that she was guilty. She just said, like, if you've been brought, she was very artfully worded around like saying she was guilty of what she was being accused of, which, to be fair, if you're guilty, I'm not expecting you to admit it. If you're a bad person, you're not going to admit that you've done something wrong. But it does feel as if we're being led around by the nose, and like we kind of, maybe it's the best we can do, since this is our sphere of influence of what we're talking about, is to mention, like, look, at least if you're watching us, yes, do, but also don't be blind to what's going on around you in the favor of things. Thank you.
There are reasons that the Amber Heard Johnny Depp case was worth talking about and discussing that matter to the broader culture.
Right.
But now at this point, especially with, I mean, I'm no Amber Heard stan, but like the character assassination of Amber Heard, I feel like she's a more hated figure and a more known figure at this point than Ghislaine Maxwell. Yeah.
Which is insane.
Yeah,
which is insane.
It is.
We'll have to figure out, like, I don't know if we're going to talk more about R. Kelly, but I was just very fascinated by the concept of all of these things kind of all happening in the same few weeks, right?
Yeah, the time frame is interesting.
The time frame of all this stuff is very, very interesting.
And it's too convenient to just be a coincidence.
And she,
I think,
I agree. Like, it's like without putting on a tinfoil hat, because that is not me. Like, seems like, you know, who picks the date of these trials? Who picks the date of this going in? Why doesn't anyone care that R. Kelly did this to a bunch of children? Mm-hmm. Is it because it's just like we're kind of it's exposure? Like we've just heard about it so much that people have already made their jokes about R. Kelly doing awful
it's
stuff
older.
To people.
Yeah.
And that is that make us bad people.
No.
And I understand that the Ghislaine trial could not have been televised, right?
No,
because it's a federal,
case. Won't,
right. But they didn't have to televise the Johnny Depp case. They chose that.
Yeah.
And you have to think about like why and who's responsible for that.
It is being used as a distraction.
I even pointed out that I thought it was weird how like as soon as the trial ended, more stuff about Ezra Miller started coming out. Like did they like how like, old
one distraction
yeah
next.
How old
go,
like
go, go.
Or they're like holding on to it. They're like, well, we know that this will pull numbers, but people only have so many hours a day to read so many articles or watch so many videos. What if we wait and put this out after the Johnny Depp stuff so we can maximize how much revenue
right.
we can gain from that? That's not cool.
It's like strategic money making.
I get it. I mean, I guess I use like late stage capitalism. Like,
I mean, it's not even just
it's
like
joke.
Late
it's
stage
that,
capitalism.
Yeah.
It's just
ghoulish.
Like,
it's ghoulish.
Yeah.
Behavior.
Yeah.
Well, this is 100% a case of bread and circuses. This is like we have everything we need. We have a lot of free time. This is the problem that you run into when you have too much and people start paying attention to things that they don't want them. They don't want to. I sound very conspiratorial, but people start to pay attention to things that other people think that they should not be paying attention to. So they say, okay, well, let's see what we can do to get him off the case.
And I was just thinking about, I mean, this is kind of ghoulish too, but I was just thinking about the fact that like, before modernity, we used to watch people fight each other to
yep.
the death.
Pretty savage.
As just a casual form of entertainment. And people would like to believe that we're somehow more sophisticated or ethical than we were then. But that is not the case.
We're
the exact same. Yeah. It's just the appearances and all the dressings of our life that
you could
have changed.
You could almost say that we're worse now because at least at that time they had to force themselves to watch it in person. Now you just
right.
get to do it from a computer
passively,
screen.
Yeah.
That's even worse in my opinion. You don't
I
even
agree.
Like there's a that's a pretty common theme in a lot of movies is like it somebody who has the if you take a life in person that's a lot different than somebody who they do that a lot when they talk about like drone strikes versus actual combat. Like
yeah.
it's a lot different to do that from a distance from a computer screen.
And it influences your decision making.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if this is if we'll see him get 25 years, but I'm guessing that even with his the lawyer from Bill Cosby, that he'll get quite a long sentence. But even if he was to get off on certain parts of that, he will still end up facing the trial for the illicit child images, which is just horrible.
Yeah.
So I wanted to get the very depressing and more conspiratorial stuff out of it. It wasn't conspiratorial. We were just asking questions about why.
Perfectly reasonable questions.
Yeah, for sure.
About why things happen in the order that they do. Is it really a distraction? And I guess we can't really know the answer to that question, but we can try to pay closer attention.
I think it's worth bringing it up for our sanity.
and ask the people that watch, if you watch us, to also, I mean, I don't think we have to say that to anybody who watches this show. I think most of the people that would watch this show understand that a lot of this is like, I harp on the idea that of the people who say that this stuff doesn't matter, because it absolutely does matter, because whether you like it or not, the famous people that you don't the famous people that we don't care about are still going to be the people that influence the next generation of people.
Yep.
So you can't pass it off as unimportant.
You do need to care, and you do need to talk about it, which I think why what you guys are doing here is important at the end of the day.
We had some super chats.
Woo.
Yes, we did. Goofer Trooper said, so bring back gladiator combat? I don't know if
gladiatorial?
That's... Gladiatorial?
Gladiatorial?
Is that really a...
That's a word.
A word, wow.
That is.
Bad App said they should reboot the client list and make it about Epstein.
Oh, man. I wonder if Jennifer Love Hewitt would come back for that. That would be
probably
interesting.
Probably not. I don't think any of those actors in Hollywood come back for that. There's too much going on there.
If I remember, she turned out fairly normal.
Okay,
she's still... I don't know. I could be misrepresenting that.
But.
JD said... Tell Tim we need pop culture chicken shirts. Also,
ooh.
Hi. Base Linda.
Oh, Base Linda. Oh, that, cool.
Who's
upgrade.
Linda?
I don't know.
Vanguard.
Linda and Dave.
Vanguard N7E335 said, Lydia, tell Tim we need pop culture crisis after dark.
Oh, interesting.
For the website only, it would have to be.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we were
segments.
Talking about like live reacting to things.
That'd be fun.
Watch parties.
We have a bunch of different ideas that we could do.
We could do it. All right, so let's move on. We're going to talk about Chris Pratt and why I believe that the media that he played right into the media's hands by talking about religion. And we'll get into that beyond the commentary of this original article, which says that Chris Pratt says wackos on the right and the left make the U.S. look more partisan than it is. And everything that he echoes in this article is hilariously like me. In a lot of ways is me, or even what Tim would call himself as a disenfranchised liberal at one point. But here's the, before we get into that, I just want to point out here that there was a bunch of, all the headlines yesterday were Chris Pratt saying stuff along the lines of, it says, Chris Pratt, he says he's not a religious person. Chris Pratt, his on his religious views, I'm not a religious person. All of the Google searches were about him claiming that he's not a religious person because they don't want there to be a positive role model for religion in Hollywood. And they literally bullied him into making, finally making a comment. I mean, them and Twitter and all of these places come together to literally drive this man to the end of his rope.
And I really just, I don't respect it.
I have sharper words for him. I am not impressed. This is pure cowardice. He's a man. He should be handling like a man. And I don't know what he expects to happen here. Does he expect them to be nice to him? Does he expect them to go away?
I think he wants everyone to get along. I think that to his detriment, he
lives in Hollywood. He should know that they're not just going to let him get along, go along, and have his own faith. He needs to come to peace with that, or he needs to leave Hollywood.
And he also shouldn't have poked the bear in the first place if he didn't want
I don't think he poked the bear. He did an interview, and I think that he just got sick of talking about it. I will say that you're right about the part about, like, okay, we were going to do the article today about Alexa Panavega, and she had a long article on from Fox talking about leaving Hollywood because her and her husband met in Bible study and just decided that they said, look, Hollywood doesn't seem to really value marriage.
No kidding.
They don't think it's the right place for them. They're still acting. They do like voice acting and stuff like that, but they left Hollywood specifically for the purpose of religion. But if he is, what would you call, like, a Sunday Catholic, it seems like, right? Or he's not.
I don't want to pass a judgment on his personal faith, you know, how he lives it out in his private life, but the way that he's spoken about it so far makes it seem like he is rather casual about it. If you can say the speech that we were showing yesterday, which we actually had to edit out of the last show.
Yes, we had to edit it out.
You can say all of that about how
that was from 2018.
You're not perfect. Your grace has been paid for with the blood of Christ. I think you're religious.
I think the
you might be religious if you say that.
I think the last part he was talking about there was blood of soldiers.
Was he?
I think he was talking
about... I don't think he said soldiers.
No, he didn't, but he said in someone else's blood. I think he was referring to the military.
Oh, maybe.
Who knows?
At least that's how I interpret it.
And then even then, it's like weird to say that that bought you grace in some kind of...
Yeah.
Like, cosmically significant way.
No,
I don't know. But he very clearly is religious. And the only reason that he said he's not is cowardice, in my opinion.
I think you're being too hard on him.
No, I don't. And here's why. He got roasted. He got flensed for wearing a freaking Gadsden flag. That's the vocabulary to word of the day is flensing.
Flensed.
Like, flensed. To flay someone. So this is what the left does when they smell blood. They're like after you like a shark in water. He got absolutely destroyed for literally just wearing a t-shirt with a Gadsden flag "Don't Tread on Me" snake on it. And he knows how the game is played. He has kids he's supposed to be a role model for. He should stand up for what he believes, or he should go somewhere else, go to Middle America and teach at whatever college. I bet he could get a great job teaching acting or whatever.
But if he loves what he's doing and he's stuck between two worlds here, I think that that we can't dismiss him because of one interview where I think that he was driven to a point where he phrased things poorly. If he goes back to just not talking about it but continues living a life, like you said, of devotion to Christ, does that make him... I don't think that speaks poorly of him. I think one bad interview isn't enough to dismiss him. And I agree with a lot of what he's saying about the part about the partisanship in this country and about feeling disenfranchised.
I don't think he should have started speaking on politics at all.
My biggest complaint would be that he did it at all.
Right.
And the fact that we're talking about it promotes it, but I think we're going to give a more reasonable take on this than the average person.
He is literally supposed to be a father to his children, and the one thing that you should expect from every good dad is for them to be a very strong role model and to be brave in the face of conflict. This conflict is something that he could have seen coming.
This has been going on for years for him.
He knows, like I said, he knows how the game is played.
So then what would be the perfect response?
He needs to double down. You know how the left doubles down? There was a lady who said that she wouldn't give Viagra to white, straight males or whatever.
Lovely.
She doubled down on it. She got in huge trouble. She was forced to resign. But before she did, she explained. She's like, yep, this is actually what I think. Chris Pratt should be like, he should be like Chet Hanks.
But technically, yeah? He didn't say anything originally. He just said this now.
So he's saying this now, and he needs to double down.
The part about saying not religious, I took issue with, but I get what you mean by saying like he's not living up to what he was claiming to before.
I understand the differentiation between faith and religion as the world sees it, because modern religion has gone very far from actual true faith as I was taught it when I was growing up, and this understanding of God's role in your life and everything. Like, there's a lot of corruption, there's a lot of gross sins that, for example, the Catholic Church got into that was a really big problem that I'm sure Protestantism, especially the Episcopal Church, has really gotten into. But that's not faith. That's not Christian faith.
I think he just feels like a regular dude who's being like abused by people on Twitter.
But he's not a regular dude because he's in the entertainment industry.
But that can't stop him from thinking that way. We always want these people to be more down to earth and less elitist.
What originally happened is that people made inferred conclusions, many of them wrong, some of them a little more accurate, but most of them about him being a hateful, angry, you know, bigoted Bible thumping Christian. Well, then he reacted so defensively, in such a like defensive posture, that he just bent the knee and actually went so far as to say that he doesn't stand by his own religion.
That's sad. That's so weak.
So let's go and let's talk a little bit more about the political side of it as well, because I think that goes into it, right? So like you're saying that he spoke out in a way that you don't think that he stood by what he believed. I think he should have just left it alone. And
well,
I think
he didn't. He didn't need to speak on it in the first place, but he did, because I think only your ego can convince you to defend yourself like that.
So he says, there's an illusion of what that we've gotten more partisan, but the truth, if you're looking at it from my understanding, is that there's a very small group of wackos on the right and a very small group of wackos on the left. The Guardians of the Galaxy and Jurassic World Dominion star told ITK in a recent interview. Each of them are sort of echoed through the mainstream media, whether it be Fox or whether it be CNN, and a lot of times there's political posturing to try and get onto Fox or to try to get onto MSNBC or CNN.
Sure.
Pratt said that there's a big group in the middle politically that, instead of moving right or left, is kind of moving up and down, becoming disenfranchised and disengaged from the political process. I agree with that. Though I don't know if disengaged is the right word for it. I think it's pulling people in whether they want to or not.
Right.
He saying that he is part of that faction?
He says nonpartisans. He's calling them nonpartisans. Like, they don't, like, I guess we would call them independents if it was polling, right? You'd be talking about left, Democrats, Republicans, and independents.
Okay, but he's identifying himself.
Yes. He says nonpartisans. He said, I feel like no one's really representing them. Pratt said that he and the team behind his latest project veered it a little bit away from politics, refocusing the Prime Video series The Terminalist into more of a psychological nail-biter compared to the best-selling 2018 political thriller of the same name that it's based on, authored by Navy SEAL Jack Carr. My guess is that is just as much as a studio note, because it's not left-wing politics, it's right-wing politics. They said, let's push away from it slightly and make it more neutral. Whereas if it was a left-wing related show, they would say go with it That's fine. But to be fair, this is the same network that did put out Reacher, and I felt that Reacher was a beautifully done show.
People
that didn't lean into
show,
politics left or right. So I don't know if it's the same team involved, but the network at the very least was willing to do that. So it says in the end, okay, let's go down. It says ultimately the story is about a guy who becomes a little disenfranchised with the complex and uses some of the insurgent tactics that he learns overseas and exacts revenge on the folks who make decisions from their air-conditioned offices, said Pratt, who also served as the Terminalist executive producer. I think that he picked a project that echoed his sensibilities and then had to work with the studio on where they would allow it to fall, if that makes sense. Maybe
his sensibilities being what?
Center, apolitical or moderate. He took but you can't take a left wing thing and make it moderate. You can only take a right wing thing and pull it further left, which in this case would be moderate in its delivery.
Right.
So he says, I think there's ways to connect with one another to understand that a lot of the division that is sown in this country is actually a result of the foreign adversaries who are hungry who are angry with us, who dislike us, the Minnesota-born performer said. I didn't know he was born in Minnesota,
oh, hey.
So that's a big one for me.
There you go.
We claim him.
Big
as our
W.
Enemies.
Yeah.
So he says, slamming Russian troll farms that are on Twitter trying to help us divide, trying to divide us as a nation. You know, I will say that he might be a tiny bit of a shill for China. Consider
you think so?
Not is okay. He? Oh no. Okay, walk that back. His movies get Chinese releases at least. So
okay.
I shouldn't have said shill for China. But at the very least, he's not going to point it out. Whether he actually knows that that's a problem, I don't know how aware he is.
He might not. He does seem to be politically somewhat aware by saying something like the center feels like they're not heard.
Yeah.
He has got a point there.
Yeah.
I wish he would say that more strongly.
Thank you.
I do appreciate that he's trying to make media that reflects that.
He says ultimately the way we could bridge this divide, because culture is upstream from politics. Maybe he's a Breitbart reader.
Oh yeah, there you go.
Is to kind of create culture, a culture of unity that lives upstream of politics and gets so popular that politicians innately are going to just effing grab a hold of it. Pratt said.
Mm.
I would say get it away from politicians entirely and don't let them be involved. If they want to do that, Americans are capable of coming together. He insisted. I think we understand that we have a lot more in common than we think. That we're going to come back to common sense, kind of come back to the middle, and realize that we can engage some of these folks, and not everything is politics. He said.
Very optimistic.
To me, what he's saying is what Tim would have said. Would have been hopeful for 5 years ago,
right?
10 years ago, when you're busy and you work a lot and you're not as aware of the socio-political situation we live in this country, maybe what he's saying is a lot of idealism. But I can handle idealism and a moderate opinion in people. I understand why you
That's
take
fine.
Issue with his fallback
but
on the religious comments.
Maybe if he weren't so easily bullied,
yeah.
then he would have more to stand for than just like, can't we all get along?
Yeah.
But then does he get the roles he gets? And then do you not have that center role model?
Okay, here's the deal. Somebody mentioned in chat that he has to think about his children. Chris Pratt is worth $80 million. He has two kids. He could send both of his kids to college. He could hide them away from the rest of the world for eternity. He has a unique position that I think he's really lucky to have. And I wish, what I want here is for him to be, I think he's great. I love Chris Pratt. I think Chris is the best Hollywood Chris.
He is absolutely the best Hollywood
100%.
Chris.
100%. He's fantastic. He's hilarious. He swears like a sailor. I think he's great. So what I want is for him to be even better. And people are like, oh, stop attacking him. I'm not attacking him. I see huge potential here. And I'm just like, I really want you to be that good role model that your kids need. I want you to be brave in the face of, like, you know, tension with people who don't agree with you politically. I want you to be unstoppable. But
is that his responsibility?
I think it is. He's a man. I think that's a man.
It's his responsibility. I'm asking, is that his responsibility as an actor to use his platform for that? I don't.
He already sounds like
he started it.
Yeah, he did.
Like, you don't have to respond to the hate. And
by the way, he's
the
not,
conclusions
and he's,
that people make inferring from like these, I mean, deranged conclusions people make
people.
Based on like a shirt you wear or a comment that you didn't make when you should have in their minds. Like, you don't have to address that. He did. And I think he did it because you only need to defend yourself against lies like that as a high profile person if you're attached to your ego still.
So you think that he finally broke down and his ego got the best of him?
Possibly.
Yeah, like, you can let people assume wrong things about you if you're a grounded person.
And he did for a long time, but you think it just got to be too much and he...
Yeah,
because like
I don't think he's that extraordinary of a guy.
So so the question is, does he... you believe that he has the responsibility as a male in society to do so?
Pretty much.
I don't think that he has that responsibility.
Why not?
I do agree with you that maybe the fact that he opened the door to it makes it a little bit different. But if he had never said anything on the matter, I would have understood and never
respected that.
Yeah, like I don't
more.
I don't talk this way about people who never bring up politics.
Yeah.
He chose to wear the t-shirt, which I think is great. Then he kind of backed down, and
I don't understand that. What do you mean? Like
what?
He backed down, like by not.
I think he apologized for wearing it.
I don't.
That's
remember.
What I recall. Let me look it up. I want to fact check myself.
You'd have to fact check.
Not sure.
I'm not sure. I will say it's really funny. Like sometimes, like because we like I skate. I post my skating videos out in the garage, and there's a Gadsden flag.
Yeah,
in the
great.
Garage, and people like every couple of videos, and he's like, "I hate that flag. Cool tricks, but I hate that flag." And I'm just
too
like,
bad.
Just roll my
too
eyes.
Bad.
So, Do you know if he, does anybody in the chat know if he apologized for wearing the Gadsden flag shirt? I don't remember that, but that's possibly true.
I just think that everyone wants him to be either cartoonishly evil or their hero, their based hero in Hollywood, and he's not. I don't think he has a remarkable level of willpower, given that he, like him. Gave in and gave them the headlines that they wanted.
I get the feeling that he wants everyone to like him. Like, that's his that's
just
his
like
thing.
All the rest of the entertainers. Yeah. So, like, how is he different? How is he standing out from them in any way?
I guess I don't know if I believe that all other entertainers want everyone to like them as much as they... I guess these
I think
days...
They're,
I,
like, they're entertainers.
Pathologically self-centered people who need validation and praise constantly.
So did you find...
It doesn't say that he did apologize.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's great. Good for him. Okay. But he has to know that that's the best approach, is to either leave it alone entirely or to come back and be like, no, that's actually what I meant. So you can just, deal with it. Like Chet Hanks, seriously. Best response.
Well, I
kick
mean,
rocks.
Kick exactly.
I mean, that's like.
Yes. SJWs can kick rocks.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, it's hard for, like, I mean, Chet Hanks is like, if I'm a dad, like, if I'm the dad and I'm raising my kids to be good people, and yes, maybe phrase it more artfully than kick rocks, but.
No, why should you?
I guess I see it as one of those things where I think they just beat him down. I think five years of constant abuse from the internet will add up when you have a public profile as high as his, and it got to be too much for him.
You have, at his level, anti-fragile status.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Forever.
I agree. And I think, I feel like he queued himself up for this. I feel like he's a very passionate person, and now he's just like, oh, I'm sorry. And he has to know that it's only going to make it worse.
It was interesting to me that he did this at all, because when I read the article that he even talked about politics, it seemed weird to me, because it just seemed out of character for him, because it seemed like he would rather just let people believe what they want to believe and stay out of it.
Right.
So, here's the other thing. When you do this type of stuff and you're anything other than what Hollywood approves of, then you become like, I guarantee you in the next couple of days, there'll be an article. When will he work for the Daily Wire or something? Like, it's going to happen.
Yeah, every side wants a pet celebrity.
Exactly.
Show off.
I hate it. I hate that side of it.
And he doesn't have to be. He is his own person. I respect that, but I wish that he would take a strong stance and be serious about it.
All right. So, Super Chats.
Yes.
Mr. Y said, the society that separates its scholars from its warriors will have its thinking done by cowards and its fighting by fools.
Correct.
Thucydides.
Yes. I know. I love that quote.
John Lee said, I guess Jesus is no longer his Lord and Savior with a few million dollars. Isn't this called selling your soul?
What do you think, Mary?
I think that's a bit harsh for like a poorly phrased interview. Like I said, if
I don't know. That doesn't seem like phrasing. That just seems like denying.
Okay.
Christ. Faith. Yeah, it kind of does.
I mean,
if he's still taking his kids to church, if he's still attending regularly, if he still lives by the principles that he's talking about. Okay. All
right.
I mean, your private life and your, and who you are publicly
should sync up.
Shouldn't be in direct conflict,
right?
I think.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Caper2x said, guys, think the silent majority. You're seeing one man. I see a whole team behind him and his family. He may not have as much wiggle room as you think.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Be like, if he's got managers that tell him that you need to address this and stuff that needs to be talked about. I do think that like, the stuff that they made, the comments about his son, particularly,
what did they say?
That when they were like the insane
that he hates his son because he wanted a healthy daughter.
He mentioned he was grateful that his daughter was born healthy. You know that thing that everyone says when their kid's born, mom and baby are healthy.
And because Twitter is full of mentally ill people who are looking for people to attack, they took that to mean, well, that must mean that you hate the fact that your first child was sick when
suddenly
he was young.
They care about babies being born with handicaps.
Yep.
It's insane.
All right, one more.
Caper2x said he learned to be prudent now that he's Chris Inc.
Oh.
Maybe so.
All right. Oh, there's one more. We'll just go with that one.
Oh, yeah.
Goofer Trooper said, completely two unrelated. More. Why why does Beanie Man's... Oh, that was just $1 bill. Why does Beanie Man's podcast episode come out the same day, but PCC is uploaded next day on Spotify? Also, money for Mary's Baking Fund.
Oh, how nice.
Thank you.
It comes out the same day that we do it because of me.
Yes.
I put it up after the show every night. And you guys have a different...
Yes, our workflow is different. Yeah, somebody else uploads that part to us. I do the editing for the show for
I
the
used
segments.
To do it that way.
Yes.
Yeah, I would do it the next morning.
So I do the uploading, I do the segments and the thumbnails and everything, get it ready. And then another employee here, a very amazing patron saint of White Boy Summer, uploads it.
Marketing to, man extraordinaire, he is. He's called.
Yes.
Eric Jackson said, shout out Sean Ranklin and big ups, Liquid Richard.
I'm going to have to look these people up.
I don't know who that is, but shout out to them.
Shout out,
I
guess.
Thank you for $5. Thank you.
All right, let's move on. Let's talk about Netflix and the womp, womp, womp that is Netflix consistently. It says Netflix ranks last among streamers in customer value satisfaction. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not everything about this. There's actually more to this than just that. But it says Netflix is reportedly placed dead last among streaming entertainment services when it comes to customer value satisfaction, signaling continued rough waters ahead for the far left wing company as they struggle to hold subscribers. I want to point out that this part is a Breitbart article, so take the editorializing for what it is.
You know exactly what it is with Breitbart.
I do.
Is helpful.
I point that out every time.
I like knowing.
So it says the results are part. Yeah, maybe that's why we have to think that Chris Pratt is who he is, because he understood that quote
that's
from
so interesting.
Andrew Breitbart. So yeah. It says the results are part of a survey from 2,460 U.S. consumers conducted by WIT Media for its 2022 streaming satisfaction report, according to a report from Variety. Netflix ranked last among the nine streamers considered for the report when it came to the customer value satisfaction, with a 62% of Netflix subscribers feeling very satisfied or satisfied with the service. And they describe customer value satisfaction as perceived value. I had to look that up, what they meant by that. It says HBO Max placed first with customer satisfaction, and I think that's actually what's interesting is I would like to know what the metrics are, because when it comes to like selection right now, I think HBO Max and Hulu have the stuff that I'm enjoying the most.
I love
when
Hulu.
It comes to actual like layout and ability to use the app, Netflix makes all of them look childlike.
No, I totally disagree.
Really,
with their the terrible search function. The search function literally sucks.
I mean, they're all kind of
then,
awful.
Then the autoplay, they start playing something before
weird
you selected
stuff.
It.
Yeah.
And also,
you can
auto
turn that
playing,
off now.
You can?
You can turn that off.
Okay, it was way too long before you could.
Yeah, why did
they
that
also
take
start,
so long?
Like, autoplaying just if you walk away from the TV or if you fall asleep, it doesn't have the question up on the screen whether you want to
just
to play the next episode anymore.
So it's not like, are you
all of them
there?
Do that. All of them do 15 seconds, 5 seconds, 10 seconds until the next episode plays. Then they play about 5 episodes before then it asks if you're still there.
Oh, okay.
I don't think the usability is like that great
in
comparison to the other ones.
I also prefer this is a big one for me, is the ability to fast forward and rewind well, which Amazon Prime has the absolute worst fast forward.
Yeah, Amazon
rewind.
Prime is
it's
the
so
worst
bad.
In that
it's
regard.
So it's such a funny thing.
It gets me so frustrated.
I thought I was literally the only one in the world. I'm like fast because there's a lot of stuff that I have to rewind or I fast forward through stuff. If I'm watching something multiple times, I'll fast forward through scenes. And the Amazon Prime, it literally looks like it was designed by a child.
Why do they want you to not mess with it? Like
you can't.
You either hit the button once and it takes 10 seconds to move 10 seconds at all, or you hold on to it and it goes 35 minutes into
just
the front.
Incentivizes it's you great. To I think as little as possible about what you're watching.
Exactly. Yeah. So it says Netflix retains the top spot when it comes to must-have streamers, with 31% of subscribers saying that they would keep the service if they could only have one video subscription. It was 41% just a year ago, so
yikes.
They dropped a full 10%. Netflix just can't win right now.
Yeah, they need to stop making garbage.
Good.
They just canceled Q-Force, if anybody
cares.
Did you
watch Q-Force?
No. I watched a bunch of the channels that covered it, but it looked really disrespectful.
Really?
If I was gay, I would have been. I mean,
Pride Month special. What the heck?
Yeah, a lot of the people, a lot of LGBTQIA members said this is really, really insulting.
Yeah,
and found it really, really offensive.
I understand.
Wait,
that.
How did they say it was offensive?
Because it's extremely stereotypical, like over the top stereotypical.
Why would you even watch that?
I
already know the stereotypes.
So the survey showed that Netflix's recent price hikes were the main reason customers said they canceled their subscription, with 69% of former Netflix customers saying the price increases led them to drop the service. Now that's I don't know if this will bring people back when they get the ad tier program, but I'm guessing if you were paying a certain amount a month for no ads before, you don't want to come back and pay that same amount just to have to sit
through
a bunch of
commercials. Well, it sounded like the ad supported tier would be the low lowest.
Probably 8 or 9.
But you still have to pay for it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. You have to pay for it.
You're going to get paid. You're paying them, actually, to market to you.
Yes.
Oh, exciting.
Yep. So it says customers are abandoning Netflix in droves as the streamer faces competition from Disney Plus, HBO Max, and other services launched by legacy studios. Subscribers also are growing increasingly fed up with Netflix's left-wing programming that has pushed woke politics and embraced former first couple Barack and Michelle Obama, who have produced who have a production deal with Netflix. It is weird to me that like a president has like a production. Like
that's
a,
so creepy.
Does Donald Trump have a production company?
Of course not.
Does he?
He has True Social.
He might.
Well, he might. I mean, wasn't he a producer on The Apprentice with
ABC? What hasn't he trademarked with his name?
He was a producer.
He's got a vineyard, for goodness
sake. Yeah, like, you can't have a vineyard and not have a production company.
Let's find out. Just, let's fact check this.
Trump Media and Technology Group.
Huge Media. It should be called Huge Media.
A media and technology company founded in January 2021 by former U.S. President Donald Trump.
So if you look here, HBO Max in 2021 had only 13% of people saying that they would keep it if they only had to keep one. Now that's jumped to 21%. So that they're all
big jump. Yeah.
I'm sorry, no, it was 13% in 2021 and 19% now in 2022. Hulu, like all of them dropped, but Disney Plus and HBO Max seem to be the only ones that are making gains.
Hmm.
They're kind of going back and forth, but HBO Max is far more expensive than Disney Plus. I think HBO Max is the most expensive of the streamers at $16.99. Netflix is $15.49 or something like that. So for the price, I find HBO Max to be like, there's so much there. Like if it was
really,
if
all I know is on HBO Max is like Euphoria.
I keep it just for having access to almost all the DC animated movies and television shows.
That's what
they have? Okay. Yeah, like and all the DC properties. But also, I mean,
it's rather niche.
It's got The Wire. It's got Game of Thrones. It's got The Sopranos. All these old shows that are very, very popular.
But then, like when you're on Amazon Prime, can you get the micro subscription to HBO Max on there too?
It sucks. Like, I don't know if you can, but like I have when I made the fateful mistake to watch the Halo series, I signed up for Paramount Plus through Amazon Prime, and it's awful because then you have to use the stupid Amazon fast forward button and it won't log in.
Like,
and it won't...
here is the shitty interface,
yes,
but with the streaming service that you kind of didn't want.
Yes,
it's like, a great combination.
It's like I got slapped twice. So it's like not only am I trying to fast forward through like Master Chief's butt cheeks on Halo, it's fast forwarding badly. And
don't tell me that was actually
actually a thing.
No,
why?
Why?
We didn't cover it here because I don't care enough about Halo to be as offended as like people who actually played the games. But yes, having to see Pablo Schreiber basically naked for that on a show where he's like...
It's just like, it's straight up disrespectful that they expect you to pay that much.
For such poor quality.
Yeah, for such little content.
I actually like Paramount Plus for like it has a lot of like my guilty pleasure like CBS procedurals from like the mid 2000s, so I use it for that. But in general, I don't want to pay. In
we know you have the highest tier of every subscriber based streaming service because you hate ads.
It's a write off here at this company.
And it's a write off.
It's a write off.
Is it? Oh,
yes.
There you go. It's an investment.
Yes. So, I hate ads. And Hulu, you still get ads. Like, so Hulu, or like, oh, that's the other thing. No, I'm sorry. Paramount, you'll still get like a 30-second ad like every 4 or 5 episodes. And even that makes me so furious. I'm going to throw the TV out of freaking window.
Right.
It's an ad for something on Paramount. So you're like,
right.
Yeah, like
right.
that's very, very
that's
frustrating.
Helpful.
No, it is not helpful. It's annoying. So it says overall SVOD satisfaction. We have HBO Max. Those numbers for HBO Max, I really do think that's proof that they're jumping and kind of setting themselves apart from the others, because it seems to be the one where I hear the least negative about HBO Max. Like at the very least, it's like people are like,
on the basis of them hosting Euphoria, I hate them. Anyway.
Yes, that's okay. That's all right.
I think it's disgusting.
So HBO Max has a 94% overall satisfaction rating, and they lead for quality original content and variety of original content because they separated. It wasn't just HBO Max. A lot of those HBO originals, which ran for a lot of seasons, and are considered staples or legendary pieces. Like Game of Thrones isn't an HBO Max show. That was just an original HBO production that went up on HBO Go. So I just think that it's weird how Netflix, despite the fact that the stock is failing, nobody likes them anymore. They're introducing ads. They're laying off employees. Still are the one streaming service that has the highest rating of people that say, if we kept one, we would just keep this one. Is that
it
just because
it proves like whoever did it first?
Exactly. Maybe so, yeah. Like, is it literally just a matter of like they're the staple, so that's what it is?
Yeah.
Like
if you met the need first, then you're forever gonna have the most name recognition.
Yep.
But it sucks because like I don't think Netflix original content is high quality. I don't like it. They also just kicked off all of the Marvel content off onto Disney Plus.
That wasn't their fault. Marvel,
I know, but
the licenses lapsed.
That was just like one more kick to the platform. And you're paying for it at that point to watch season quadrillion of Stranger Things,
yes,
which sucks, and you're also watching them in the college years now.
Yes, Stranger Things college years.
I just don't understand the angle. What's the appeal anymore? What are you even selling me?
The funnier thing about it is a lot of people were very happy with Netflix because they didn't release weekly. Like a lot of these other streaming services are releasing stuff weekly. They're not just HBO Max isn't giving you, or I'm sorry, Disney Plus isn't giving you all of Obi-Wan Kenobi at once so that you can just rip it off like a Band-Aid
and get it over with. Seriously.
Which is what I would have liked to have done. Instead, you have to suffer through it weekly. But the thing is, when it's actually a good show, it's kind of nice. Like the Hulu is releasing episodes of The Old Man from FX every Friday. I'm enjoying being able to tune in on Fridays and watch just one digestible episode of that. It's like we've come weirdly full circle back around to like appointment television, where it's like everyone wanted to binge all at once.
Thank you.
And now we're back to like I want to watch it weekly so I don't have to feel like I have to commit to 90 or to a whole season like in one sitting. But now Netflix is struggling with that. Because they talk about here how basically they're releasing the second half of Stranger Things to keep people subscribed because they're otherwise people would just subscribe, watch it, and immediately unsubscribe.
It is interesting how like we've moved from movies to miniseries so quickly because like I used to think of series with short seasons as more of like a European thing.
Yeah.
Like only British TV shows had six to like,
three to six, less than 10.
Huh. Definitely less than 10 episodes per season.
Luther
and
was
now
always
that's
six
like
episodes.
Kind of the norm.
Yeah.
And it's, but like every episode is a mini movie that also isn't the quality of a movie.
Closer to an hour. Most of them, like 52 minutes. That's really funny because I was actually rewatching Luther fairly recently, and I was like, I just couldn't do it because it was just like, it's just like everything else now. I liked it at the time, or watching Sherlock. At the time, it felt unique and different to watch everything in these chunks. And now, since everything's like that, it doesn't hold that special feeling that it did.
That
before.
Was so foreign to me at the time.
So, it says there's a new development and it syncs with Netflix's stunning news this spring that it lost 200,000 subscribers in the first 3 months of the year and expects to lose another 2 million in the second quarter of the year. I don't remember hearing anything about that.
Wow.
Those are the first subscriber losses the company has posted in a decade, and the results have led to a huge drop in the stock price and a scramble for them to find answers in a fair degree of schadenfreude. The data that suggests what kind of problem Netflix is facing comes to Recode via Antenna, a research service that tracks consumer spending on subscription services, and it shows that by the end of April, 23% of Americans who signed up for Netflix had dropped the service within a month. That's more new subscriber cancellations than any other competitive service that Antenna tracks. So basically the idea here, it says they're going to make the second half of Stranger Things over a month later so that you have to stay subscribed.
That's rude.
And then hopefully when you're done, you just forget about it
and
stay subscribed.
Yeah, that's
what they're hoping for. So
it figures, you can't rely on tricking people into paying you. You need to actually have a good product. Newsflash.
See if this works for Netflix.
I am excited for The Gray Man.
Strategy.
They have a movie coming out called The Gray Man from the Russo brothers, Chris Evans, but we won't hold that against them in this case.
Yeah.
And Jake Gyllenhaal. It was either Jake Gyllenhaal. I always get Jake Gyllenhaal and Ryan Gosling
it's
mixed
Jake.
Up. It's Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah,
and they also had
Gyllenhaal like way younger.
I have no idea. I feel like they're about the same age. Hmm. I could be wrong. And they also had, if you guys haven't seen Hustle, which is an Adam Sandler movie about basketball, really, really, really good.
I think I've seen
Go
that
watch
one.
It.
Yeah, so. Interesting one.
Super Chats.
Yes. Eric Jackson said CNN reporter Bernie Gores was KIA by the Russians.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no.
I didn't know that. I'll have to look that up.
Convincing Reality said, to think an ever-increasing amount of brow-bashing and degenerate content, removing rating systems, increasing prices, introducing ads, and insisting you can't share your account with family or friends would prove to be unpopular.
I know, that's crazy.
They actually added a thing where, like, you can thumbs up content, you can thumbs down content. Now there's, like, a double thumbs up button, so it's like, really, I don't just like it, I really like it. Like, who's actually hitting that? Actually, I've hit that for a couple things, but something in general, I'm sorry, and I missed something here. The other thing that they said, and I'll go back to that too, because of what he said. Who is that was Convincing Reality that
yeah.
said that?
Yeah.
Okay, there was an interesting part here where it said Netflix, they topped the service when it came to, like, recommendations and cert and layout. So, like, your ability to, like, get recommendations based on your previous viewing history
right.
was better at Netflix than at the other services, probably because they have a more developed algorithm because they've been doing it longer.
Right, mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Caper2X said, Brett, Mary needs a cookie. She's hangry today.
Very hangry today.
I might
Very
be.
Hangry. We will get you a cookie.
I think I need a Chick-fil-A mac and
There it
cheese.
Goes. Oh my Thank gosh. You. Yeah, Thank you.
I was like, is it broken?
Thank
oh
you.
My gosh. Thank you. We had chicken party. We need the music. Yep. I want mealworms to fall on my head. Come on, let's go.
Be I great. Still want thunder and lightning.
It would be great if we had mealworms that just fell in the guest head and it never happened to us.
Yeah.
Like, just
but
every
then
day.
We're the ones that have to clean them up.
Oh, that's
That's a fair trade.
No, we should do gummy worms. There you go. That's it. I've solved everything.
Well, we would do Sour Patch Kids for you.
Yes, thank you. I
perfect.
Appreciate that.
That'd be perfect.
That's right.
Yeah. Daniel J. Corica said, watch Arcane on Netflix.
I keep getting that request or like that show recommendation, and I've heard very, very good things about it.
Have you watched it?
I have not watched it.
What the heck?
I have a very hard time with animation unless it's like DC animated stuff. I can't even do right. Marvel animation. It's just not my thing. If anything, they would tell you that makes me low. I'm lowbrow.
for not liking animation?
For not being an anime guy or a manga guy.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're not a weeb.
JD, thank you for $100.
Thank you,
JD. Thank Woo. You.
Yes.
Just hope for two parties today. Still want a shirt with my Pop Culture Crisis chickens.
Yeah.
An armed Roberto Jr. might be nice for fall, too, given the events. I'm sure Luke can find a good motto. Remind Ian to fry fresh dandelion flowers.
I hear that's
Hope
good.
This keeps Tim from canceling you guys.
Oh, man. What? We're not going to get canceled. In fact, but Ian will be back on Friday. So.
We have yes. 234 people watching right at this minute. That's freaking fantastic.
Thank you.
I do have to remind myself sometimes that not every show has, like, you have to be like,
not every show is 100%.
You have to be gay. No, I'm like compared to, like, you can't compare yourself to other shows because
yeah,
it's not
no.
the same thing. Haven't been doing it as long. Aren't working with the same profile and paradigm. You have to have managed expectations for how these things go. And the people who watch the show have been so good mm-hmm. to us. And it's been such an amazing thing to be able to get through, like, to be able to do.
Best
like,
audience.
We just passed 150 episodes yesterday, and it's kind of surreal.
And so. I do want to say we're very close to 30K, and we have to hit it before Inverted World.
It's a race.
I don't know if we're going to, but being
Let's
the
go!
Like
subscribe.
I am very like I was very hyper competitive when I was younger, and I've kind of eased out of that to avoid.
Well,
becoming...
I'm younger than you, so I'm allowed
Let's
to
go.
Be hyper competitive.
For Mary's sake, get us
for
to 30K.
Sake,
if you're
do
not
it.
Subscribed yet, please
share it with your mom and your dad
it.
And your friends and
do
your
it
dog.
For dip.
Do it, please.
Goofer Trooper said, binging was the best part of streaming services. If I can't spend my day off watching a stupid show for 12 hours of snacks, what's the point?
I agree. Completely agree.
Okay. I agree totally in the context of, like, when you get a day off, but, like, because we're so, maybe it's also because we're doing it for work now. Like, I like having the one episode to digest. Like, I'm going to go watch episode 4 of The Old Man on Friday, and I'm going to digest just that episode.
Having a schedule for it.
Just that
nice,
episode
maybe.
Of the show
structure.
Dark Winds. There's
right.
some structure there. But when it's, like, a new full series, you're absolutely right. That's what Saturday is for. That's why they're like, Brett, you want to go do something? I'm like,
Well, when people still had cable, it was like, a novelty to have all the season at once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And binge
true.
Watch it.
That's basically what
now
you pay for.
Now we're reverting back to the schedule of a new episode every week.
Or you're paying for the ability to watch any show you want at that time, even if it's rather than having to just whatever was on that network.
Yeah.
So. Caleb right. Sherd said, Shonen Jump and Crunchyroll are the only subscriptions I need. Japanese storytelling is better than American storytelling.
I have heard that. I don't know if it's true or not.
Yeah, I have a friend who's into anime, and she said that she likes it because they don't include the same messaging that Western cartoons and live action shows push on you.
Right.
I'm not sure if that's true, but like, I've tried to get into anime in the past and it just didn't click for me.
Keep going. I have something I want to point out here when we get to one of these episodes. I gotta find it.
Oh, and another thing, like I also find the anime art style to just be a little tired because I've seen it for so long.
Yeah. I wonder if it's gonna hit its peak with like Gen Z and then start to fall off.
Maybe. It's the same thing with K-pop. Like, I get that like cross-cultural referencing is, you know, becoming more prominent, but I just don't personally see the appeal in it.
Yeah. It's a very acquired taste, I think. A lot of American teens have really gotten into it. I've never seen The Draw myself, but I also, to be fair, Japan has a lot of their own problems. Like, they are facing
definitely
similar problems as we are. Like, their reproduction rates are not as high as they're supposed to be.
They have a lot of same problems, different symptoms.
Different iterations.
I don't
know. Yeah. Well, definitely they have the problem with people focusing on anime instead of like dating ladies, which is a really interesting problem to have. Like, there's a problem of it being too appealing, right? Like, anime is better than real life.
Too distracting.
Kind of sad. Yeah, really sad.
Looking next one.
Darius Harvey sent $49.99 with no message.
Thank you, Darius. Mm-hmm.
Goofer Trooper said, only anime or manga you need is Berserk, but only the 97 anime, for the love of God, avoid the 2016 abomination.
Okay. George Alexopoulos is
wow.
But
right,
you also missed one. Thank you. Second
gosh.
One.
Is
that the first?
Party.
Eric Jackson said, Lydia, Chance thanks. Michael Franzis.
Francis.
Guests on TimCast.
I want to point out.
Mobster?
Yes. This guy.
Thank you.
So much dollars.
Why is everyone being
this
so
is
generous
the guy
today? Thank you.
This is the guy that you have to have play Michael Francis if he's ever.
Who is that?
It's an actor named Sal Landy. And I maintain to this day that he would have to, if you look up Michael Francis, the photos we're looking at here aren't him with facial hair. But if you see him with facial hair, looks very much like Michael Francis.
That's great.
So, yes.
I don't know about bringing mafia into this house.
What?
We already
but
have.
He's an interesting guy.
I'm sure he is.
He's got a very interesting.
Anybody who's been in the, you know, organized crime.
But he found religion. He's a very devout. He's a devout Catholic now. And if you go check out his YouTube channel is fascinating. I got into it because he's a mobster who would review mob movies. And
that's amazing.
Freaking
that's
awesome.
An easy
first of all. That's
angle
so great.
For YouTube.
But he also does a bunch of other stuff.
I saw
he's
this
great.
Like 4chan green text one time that was like, here's an easy way to make money. Pretend to be an ex-con and make a bunch of videos reviewing media that like includes prisons or anything related to prisoners.
Well,
this man
BuzzFeed does that. Like, or like, remember,
right,
like,
exactly.
I want this guy on our show, and here's why. He eventually helped implement a scheme to defraud the federal government out of gasoline taxes in the early 1980s.
Yep, that was his thing. He's great.
I mean,
if we can't get Wesley
on.
Snipes,
let's get another tax.
Let's get Michael Francis.
Yeah,
but yeah, he would be great to have on IRL.
For sure.
You got another super chat from Versified. He said, awesome to see Lydia on PCC.
Oh, thank you.
Mary, as both of us are Catholics, what's your take on your Catholic friends and family being outraged on the Roe v. Wade ruling? Mm-hmm. Wait, I'm not sure why you think they would be outraged.
Is
it because most Catholics are actually pro-choice? I know that cringe. Is the case, sadly, because, you know, people don't know Catholic teaching.
Even Catholics.
even the church-going Catholics, sadly. But everyone I know, because I mostly talk to Catholics who know church teaching, is happy about it, except I don't want to be easily satisfied. I think we should take the same angle as the left sometimes, where we are like, there's so much work to be done.
Yeah, no, it's true.
That's
because there always is.
Yeah, that's a big thing we talked about off air that one time. Like every time something like this happens, whatever your position is, the right's always like, we did it, we won one.
Yeah, and then, we're just so easily placated.
And the left says, on to the next thing. There's more work to be done,
right, exactly.
All the time. So, all right, we're going to move on. We're going to do Podluck, since there is no Podluck theme song, because there's no Dane here right now. So this is going to be, it says, The Flash and Aquaman 2 are out at Comic-Con year because their stars are social dumpster fires right now.
Is this cancel culture at work? Have they been canceled?
They've been canceled, yeah. So it says it's learned that The Flash and Aquaman 2 will not be part of next month's big San Diego Comic-Con convention, which includes Warner Brothers Discovery deciding to drop DC Comics from the convention floor. In the Hollywood Reporter's report about how Warner Brothers Discovery CEO David Zaslav is making big changes with the company's approach to Comic-Con, it's noted that the plans for the WB and DC Films division at San Diego Comic-Con are, quote, still being hashed out. As worth a mention is that the official Warner Brothers Discovery press release about its Comic-Con panel makes no mention of Warner Brothers or DC Films. That's coming under construction too. They want to turn DC Films into a separate studio with their own version of Kevin Feige. I don't know how you find somebody who's both a comic nerd and a high-powered studio executive, but there aren't very many of them at that level. It says they've offered that DC League of Super Pets, Black Adam, and Shazam Fury of the Gods could be part of the panel as they all get released this year. It's hard to imagine Dwayne The Rock Johnson not showing up. I always add The Rock in there because he doesn't get to be... he can't use the name The Rock in any of his promotion because it goes to the... WWE gets it...
really?
Gets money.
No way.
Whenever John Cena... his name gets used, WWE gets a cut of that because they own the name John Cena.
Is it
because it's not his legal name?
It's his real name, but he's like...
That's crazy to me.
There's a reason why now in wrestling, like if you come to the WWE from another company, you don't get to keep your name. They change it so that they can have creative control over it, unless you're like a very, very big star, but they're almost everybody in the industry now is so young. The last one that I can remember was like AJ Styles came in from like 20 years of wrestling and he got to keep his name, but in general they change your name to something different because it's copyrighted by the company.
That's crazy.
So The Rock can't be The Rock, he has to be the Dwayne Johnson, which to be fair he probably wanted anyways because he didn't want to be known as his wrestling handle forever.
Well, he's successfully kind of rebranded.
Yeah, he did. So it says Dwayne Johnson, Black Adam could be at Comic-Con. What's odd with all is that all the movies have finished filming, so they could release a clip of some kind if they want. So maybe that means the cast of the 2023 films is not going to be brought to Comic-Con. Why would they bring Ezra Miller and have to keep him away from all the 12-year-old girls at Comic-Con?
They're like,
we'll bring it. Like, it'd be really funny if they brought Ezra Miller and they did an 18 and up men only panel. Just to be safe.
Just to be safe, to make sure
that Ezra, no touching.
No touching
the children. Bad. Leave the kids alone.
Bad Ezra.
And Amber Heard comes and the first question's like, did your dog step on a bee?
would just be like, yes.
Yes. I love that. And she's like, she comes in like a TJ Maxx outfit.
Yeah.
Linen pants from TJ Maxx and the Hamptons. I bet TJ Maxx and the Hamptons is actually pretty nice stuff. Yeah.
It's like, have you ever been either thrifting in a rich neighborhood or garage shit? I have a friend named Justin who lives in this really rich area of New York, and they have like a free bench in the neighborhood.
Wow.
And I kid you not, there was a 60-inch TV on the free bench once.
Yeah, Andy says moving super rich people is kind of like that too.
Yeah.
It's like, they want to get rid of it.
A 60-inch TV. It's like, but there's no remote.
I'll have
to buy a $15 universal remote for this free 60-inch TV that
I
just found.
Feel like I'm getting away with murder.
I know, right? Says The Flash and Aquaman 2 are presently involved in a lot of controversy, as Ezra Miller is insane. That doesn't say that here. Is claimed to be done as The Flash and Aquaman 2 is getting currently hammered by the Amber Heard fans.
I don't know what it is, but seeing their faces side by side right now, I just
so smug.
I need the Flash and
Mera buddy cop.
Something buddy like cop. Who's a good cop, yeah. bad cop, maybe?
No, we just have them go on like a swashbuckling or, pirate adventure.
There you go.
Where the Flash runs across the ocean to meet up with Mara.
Yes.
And
or
they just,
a teenage girl.
No, or he gets tricked. He gets Chris Hansen into meeting up with Mara
yeah.
because he thinks he's about to save some 12-year-old child from save.
I think Amber Heard should move on to his Vermont compound and
yeah.
they'll live happily ever after and never bother us again.
Terrible guy, terrible lady.
What would she do on the compound? Who like
be worse?
All you gotta do there is be yourself.
They fight each other for like who's the most messed up. Like that'd be pretty.
Obnoxious.
He's like, no. Well, his is like, I'm very manipulative, and she's like, I'm very self-centered. And
she's
then
very manipulative
just,
too. They and might clash.
And they go Ooh. Back and forth
on it. That means
they're
immune to each other's
exactly.
tactics.
Yeah, they're inoculated.
It's perfect.
They're like, so, oh, I see what you're doing.
And then if you guys don't know, I didn't pull up this article, but Jason Momoa got promoted to like a spot Ooh. As like a UN ambassador.
Yeah.
And Amber Heard, they're like, we don't know her status. So now her Aquaman co-star got like a promotion and she's all like left in the lurch.
Overall, I would prefer if the UN didn't have celebrity ambassadors especially Angelina Jolie
going to the Ukraine to sit in a coffee
wasn't
shop.
Wasn't Ben Stiller doing the same thing
met
too?
With Zelensky. I remember I talked to Dallas. He's like, I met Ben Stiller once 10 years ago and he was just as annoying as then as he is talking to Zelensky now.
Yeah, so. Seriously, what a pain in the butt.
So here's a question I could ask you guys. What would you if you had to keep one? If you get to keep the Flash movie or you get to keep, well, I guess that's kind of a hard one because at least Aquaman 2, you get Jason Momoa and she's not the main character.
I think
character.
The Flash just has too much meme potential.
Yeah.
I want them to release it like in my heart of hearts if I really admit it.
All the scenes of him running are going to be him running away from cops.
Right.
Like
exactly.
Him doing his stupid run like this.
His stupid Flash run where he's hanging from the ceiling on strings.
Cringe. Do you want to do Halsey quick? Do you want to do Halsey?
Lady.
You're reluctant to do it.
No, you're good.
Well, I actually sent you my article that I wrote
about okay.
it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Rhett.
We had started the show yet, so I did not have it yet.
I made sure to pick the photo of her where she looks the most smug and devious.
Mm. All right, let's do this.
So Halsey had a concert in Phoenix, Arizona over the weekend, where she decided to go on a rant about her stance on abortion.
Oh, yay.
Let me just quote it here. She said, here in Arizona, you guys got to promise me that you're going to do that work so that the person to the left of you and to the right of you has that right for the rest of their lives. If you don't like it, you can go home right now. I don't care. If you don't like it, I don't know why you came to a Halsey concert
because
I have never been shy that this is how I feel. So
I love that. Like, it's like you're going through your list of like concerts. Thank you. You're going through your list of concerts you want to go to this year. And you're like,
can't go to a Halsey concert.
And you just like,
I don't think that you should be able to get an abortion at 9 months.
You just type in like names and then put abortion next to it to see what comes up for each person you want to go to a concert. They put that on Ticketmaster. So like you can like search by political opinion.
I don't think
it just shows
good.
How self-centered they are that anyone that they think anyone is looking into what their opinions are about these things in the first place. But yeah, she effectively shunned all of her fans who maybe don't appreciate her point of view on abortion or who don't feel like it's necessary to comment on it mid-concert when they're standing there in the middle of the night in brutal heat and they feel like
Twitter,
going home.
Isn't that what your Twitter is for? So that you
exactly.
can make your annoying
Which,
rants
do that there.
After.
Yeah, she did tweet about it on the day of the decision, saying she's been advocating for abortion, reproductive rights, and bodily integrity for as long as I've had the platform, and I'm running out of ways to word and frame the severity of the impact that fundamentalism has on our country.
Is
this
nothing to do with that?
Is it a fundamentalist issue?
No, it's just literally not.
I'm asking it sarcastically. Like it's a constitutionalist
right,
issue. It's not a fundamentalist. But it's like they're going to frame it that way, and you're never. This is why they win though, because they control the media machine and they control the narrative. It's very hard to reach out to people. And it's why this stuff matters.
To be fair, on the day of the decision, she was doing a different concert in California. And she made a comment on stage that was a lot less browbeating. She just said, I hope we've cultivated a space where you have permission to feel however the F you want to feel tonight.
No, apparently
where she
not.
Was kind of indirectly addressing it.
That was like, I'm fine with that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm okay with that.
But yeah. If she'd actually meant that when she said it.
No, but she didn't, which kind of suggests that maybe she was in talks with PR after and they were like,
go for it.
Go for it.
Go all in.
If you feel like talking about it on stage in the middle of a concert. And this was also used to introduce her song Nightmare, which is basically like an edgy feminist song for teenage girls who don't know how the world works.
It is funny to me how one thing that me and you always keep coming back to is like whenever these people, it's one thing to have these beliefs. It's another thing to think that you're like fighting the system mm-hmm. when you're like literally the system now. Like they are everything that is the mainstream. And they're like, oh, we're standing up for against the system. Like, you literally
are
everything.
The system.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And the way that this was being reported on, everyone was saying, like, just swaths of people in the crowd walked out in protest of her
Did
rant.
They? Great.
But that's, I mean, that would be cool if it were true. But I think that they were leaving because she was drawing out.
We want to go home.
She was like, they were in an outdoor venue. In Phoenix, Arizona, in the middle of the night, and they probably have hours to get home. I even saw this tweet that said, it was from someone who supported her speech. They said, I waited the whole show for her to sing Nightmare and give her speech, and I left after because I have a 5-hour drive home and wanted
That's
to beat
fair.
Traffic leaving the venue. Not everyone left because of what she said.
I really hate that this, to me, just looks more like Colin Kaepernick nonsense. This is just fusing the two. You should not mix politics and pleasure. You really shouldn't. I view this as a decline of our culture because she's like, oh, I'm just gonna put this into what I'm doing.
But to
not?
Be fair, we like we said, we talked about earlier, Mary, about like, does that make us hypocrites? If you like it when a Chris Pratt comes out and says something, I'm using him as an example, who says something that you agree with, does that make you a hypocrite for like I said, I give conservatives a lot of crap for always saying, why do these celebrities matter? They don't matter. And then anytime somebody says anything, even slightly right wing, they're like, oh my God, I always knew he was a patriot. Like
Trying to think of a situation where like I felt that way, but I'm never satisfied with
exactly
what they come out and say because I always think they're doing it for like self-serving reasons.
Exactly. That's to me, I was like, you have to always take it with a grain of salt. The best you can hope for is that even if you understand that what they're saying is for selfish reasons, if you agree with the message they're spreading, I guess that's a win, I guess. But in general, we need to stop putting these people on a pedestal and just look at it for what it is. I think one of the reasons that the show has the name that it does is because you have to understand that the things that these people say do bring about a crisis in society because their words unfortunately carry a lot of weight when they really shouldn't.
Right. I think they carry more weight than they should because they make a lot of money. What? And I don't understand. Maybe it's just a side effect of capitalism that
late stage capitalism.
No, I'm not saying that. I think it's a side effect of capitalism though to be like, oh, the person who has more money is going to be, you know, they're more important. Because
exactly.
How else could they have gotten this money?
I just think both sides need to be more realistic about, like, what it actually means. Just because they say something you agree with does not make it necessarily a good thing.
Right. Agreed on that regard.
I do, however, take issue with it when they start to, like, denigrate and like the somebody who's a conservative and says something annoying on Twitter that you might agree with and other people might dislike. They might disagree with their statement. It's when they start attacking fans and people, like she's like, downside of outdoor venues is no door to hit them on the way out.
That's just not classy.
Shut up.
It just shows she's like absolutely delusional.
And this was a huge problem in the comic book industry. If you don't like my politics, don't buy my books. You're, in the immortal words of Zach, it was a channel I follow, you're a hot dog vendor. It's not your job.
Shut up.
To just make the comics. You can agree or disagree with that. I don't know if it's fair for us to say that they don't have a right to their opinions, but understand what that's going to do is it's going to limit your ability to sell your product. For somebody in Halsey's position, she can afford to do that because she makes a lot of money and her reach is already extended very far. Somebody working in the niche avenue of the actual physical comic book industry, which is now far smaller, you don't really have that same luxury to just be turning away customers at every corner, but they do, which is insane and proves that they're ideologues and they're not actually interested in the art form or the medium in which they work.
Are they? I mean, I don't even know if they're ideologues as much as they're attention seekers.
Maybe. Her, I believe, is just doing business and is able to do so. If you're doing it in an industry like comics where like you're literally like you're making yourself more poor by talking that way, I have to believe that's being an ideologue. Mm-hmm. So, and they can never, like, we covered that story about Miles Morales, and I look at this dude's Twitter, and it's all just Trump. It's like,
cringe.
They can't get over it. They can't get over it. Yeah. So, all right, let's move on. And before we go, I have two things quick. They did announce a release date for the sequel to Ghostbusters Afterlife, which will be December 20th of 2023. Snap. I don't know why you don't do that over Halloween, but
2023. Yeah, that would have been great. That would have been perfect.
That's I'm assuming. Well, this is
that actually annoys me.
There's a lot that goes into release dates. Those things are planned years in advance. Likely, there's going to be a bigger horror movie or something coming out around that time that they don't want it to compete with. Which doesn't always make sense because it's a different market because this will be a family movie, but we'll see.
It's always so weird to me when I think about what it's like to be an actor or anyone involved in the making of a movie where you only see the fruits of your labor
at the end.
way after.
Mm-hmm. Well, they get to
and
see
then
cuts
you
of
get
it.
The response to it after all of that anticipation. Yep. You had to go through
when they did the reshoots for the Justice League, and you look at Ben Affleck, he's like literally two different sizes because he like put on a bunch of weight after they finished making the movie. So, all right, and before we go, I don't know if this is womp womp womp, but O.J. Simpson,
it's just absurd, is what it
he
is.
He says, "Forget so my trial. L.A. needs cops."
OJ backs the blue.
Apparently,
somebody needs to put what that on a shirt, like. Yeah, like, something so I'm just picturing gloves. Like him saying
thin blue line between us and OJ.
Yeah, seriously.
It's like a black leather glove with a blue line going through it.
Oh yeah, there you go. That's good branding.
So it says pigs. It says pigs are flying. OJ Simpson is supporting the Los Angeles County law enforcement. The ex-con took a stand. Not the stand. Wednesday at the LA County Sheriff's Department with a video rant ripping West Hollywood for voting to cut funding for the agency. So. Oh, to be fair, to be on the record, he does not support defund the police.
There you go.
Right.
That's fair. That's fine.
What if he bought like a white Bronco just for a throwback and he drives around a white Bronco?
That would
like
be really one. Funny.
And Bruno Magli shoes.
That would be incredible. That'd be incredible. Simpson says the decision is all wrong, pointing out his infamous history with the law enforcement in LA and saying, trust me, we need police. We need the sheriff's department, referring to the time he spent behind bars during his murder trial. Remember, he also wrote a book called If I Did It, This Is How.
Yeah.
I wish I understood why OJ was so addicted to social media. Like, he is so obsessed with attention.
Yeah, he's got to have that sweet, sweet attention.
So it says, now years later, Simpson says he's always been against defunding the police, claiming he's always said instead of cutting funding, money should be redirected and used for better training and expanding internal affairs departments while police investigate other police.
He knows a lot about policing.
Yeah, he would know a lot about that.
He has been in a police investigation or two, if I remember correctly. Yeah. So that is today's womp, womp, womp. If you guys wonder about Back the Blue, just remember, OJ's on your side. So
he's got your back.
He's not ACAB. We now have that on the record.
It's good to know.
OJ Simpson's not ACAB.
Good.
So
got it.
All right. There's some super chats there. I think a couple at the end there.
Caper2X said, Lydia, did Tim touch base with Tulsi for IRL?
Tim did not. I did. I emailed her assistant, I think it is, earlier today. So hopefully we'll hear back soon. In fact, I'll check my email right now.
Cool.
That'd be a great guest.
I will be waiting with bated breath.
Yes, we love Tulsi over here.
Caper2X said, Brett, why doesn't DC replace Ezra with the CW Flash?
The number one reason for that is...
Well, because they made the freaking movie already.
The one, because and a lot of people have said that, there is generally in Hollywood considered to be a divide between what is considered a television star and what is considered a movie-level star. At this point, anyone would be better than Ezra Miller, but my guess is they wouldn't cast...
But they were also trying to do this Ezra Miller as the Flash in a miniseries. So increasingly, you can switch between the two.
With Grant Gustin doing the Flash for 9 seasons, I don't know how much more he wants to do that character. Like, he looks increased. Like, I don't watch the show anymore. I haven't watched since like the third or fourth season. But he looks increasingly unhappy with every scene I see him in. Maybe I'm projecting on that. But doing like, something for 9 seasons, like I'm sure he's a little over it. So I think they would be better off recasting. And just blame the multiverse. That's what the point of the multiverse is, right? They can make everything that doesn't make sense. Just say it was the multiverse and
yes,
get rid
exactly.
of that.
Yes, exactly. Oh, that's so weak. I hate that.
JD said, I'm less worried about this than figuring out how to make Brett a good rooster next to the girls. Big line on the highway for anyone who remembers. Wait, what?
I don't recall. I don't know that context.
Is the vlog out? Is this in reference to the vlog? I don't think it's in his rooster.
No, not sure.
I'm not even keeping up with the vlog often enough to know.
There's
the
a lot
context.
Going on around here. Yes.
There's a lot going on.
Life is very, very busy at work right now.
Never
for us.
A dull moment.
So I don't know what they mean by a good rooster.
I'm
See,
sorry,
I did want to do a good bit where I was very jealous of Chicken City, where I go out to take out Chicken City on my own because I'm jealous of how successful they are.
I like that.
You know, I want to take their subscribers for my own
like
and pull them.
Oh,
thank
them.
You.
Woo, thank you.
But I don't think that's clarifying. I don't think that's possible.
Someone else is asking when will we be getting Sarah from Cast Castle on PCC?
Oh, that's a good question.
Sarah has expressed a little nervousness about the idea.
Great.
So
perhaps
I don't know.
Perhaps one day.
It's never we'd be perfectly happy to have
never
her on.
Compulsory.
I just think she wouldn't really be into it.
I do want like when like the first time we asked Andrew to be on and I was like, you don't have to if you don't want to. But we did the Obi-Wan Kenobi reviews, which he knows a lot about.
Like, that's an entry point.
Yeah. You gotta be willing to like I can go hours without talking after work, but then when you do the show, you have to be able to talk for a
engaged
long period of time.
On,
not everybody
yeah.
always wants to be able to do that. Plus, there is such a thing like here is like a lot of the people here are politically focused, and what we're talking about here is so, I mean, it kind of connects, like a lot of the stuff we talk about today connects tangentially to that world, but you kind of have to have like a, if not a passion for it, you have to be read in it, and it's not always the easiest thing if they're not super into it. I would like to get like Gary from Nerderotic to come out here to
oh,
do
Gary's
the show
great. That'd be fun,
at
yeah.
some point. So
He's awesome.
That would be very cool. So, and I think there was one more.
Unavailable ID name said, I don't have anything awesome to say today. Just wanted to say hello to you guys.
Hello.
Well,
thank
hello.
You for super
Thanks
chatting.
You anyway.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
So I think that is everything we've got today. Lydia, thank you so much. You got to get into IRL soon.
I got a little time. But yeah, thank you very much for having me, you guys. I love coming on Wednesdays. You guys can follow me on Twitter, minds.com at Sarah Petulitz, as well as the site Andy put together for me called sarahpetulitz.me. That's all my socials.
Perfect. Mary, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram or WeChat at Closer Kitty, and whenever I post articles on TimCast.com, I promote them there.
Like the one you just posted.
Like the one
awesome.
I just posted about Halsey.
Yeah.
Perfect. Guys, you can follow me on Instagram at Brett Dasovic. For the show, we are here Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. There was one more. It says, unavailable ID name says, I'll join the PCC show. There is a longer process to getting out here.
It takes a little
here.
More than that, yeah.
Yeah, well, maybe someday. We'll see.
We'll see.
So, guys, Instagram at Brett Dasovic for the show Monday through Friday right here on YouTube.com, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That is noon Pacific for Pop Culture Crisis. We are also on social media. We are on Twitter at @PopCulture_show, Facebook and TikTok at @PopCultureCrisis, and on Instagram at @PopCultureCrisisPod. We will be back with another episode tomorrow. We'll see you then, guys. Bye.
Bye.